I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to the next of our Run with Coach Parry sessions. I am Brad Brown, and with me I've got the coach, Lindsay Parry, once again. Lindsay, welcome back. Good to catch up.
How's it, Brad? Yeah, looking forward to today's question. I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, it is going to be a good one, Lindsay. And this sort of strategy really burst on the scene here in South Africa. It's been around for a long, long time. And it burst onto the scene when one of your athletes, Caroline Wassman, won Comrades a couple of years ago. And it's got to do with the run-walk strategy. And the question comes in from Tapelo. And Tapelo is saying, when calculating the run-walk strategy, do you calculate the race as being an even split, or should you be conservative in the first half and aim for a negative split? I think it's a great, great question. How should Tapelo, and this, Lindsay, I'm guessing, applies to any distance, whether you're running a 10, a 21, a 42, or if you're going on and running an ultra?
No, absolutely. So it is. It works across all distances. And it's a two-part question. And I think it's important to answer it in two parts because although they are quite tightly interlinked, they are two slightly different concepts. And the first is the question of pacing. And yes, you should always aim to run a fairly even pace in a race, but you need to take the route profile into account. You know, for example, if you're going to have a race that's fairly flat to halfway and then it's quite hilly in the second half, well, then it's not going to be an even pace strategy. You are going to be a little quicker in the first half than you are going to be in the second half. But that's not to say that you're going to be banking time, because that's the wrong attitude to take. Because if you're banking time, when you need your energy for the hardest part of the route, you're really just not going to have it. So in that sort of scenario, what we're really talking about is even effort. So we want to be able to meet out a similar effort in the first half and the second half, but the second half will obviously be slower because it's going to be harder because it's a very hilly second half. So they are two different concepts, and you know, this works literally across 5K and longer. You know, I see it over and over again, and it's quite funny to me that no matter what the distance is, if you run in the same place for a couple of years, you get to know all the runners around you. And it's remarkable to me that 2/3 into a race, I always pass the same people that have gone out too hard. And in a 5K, it'll be at 3Ks. In a 10K, it'll be at 7Ks. In a 21K, it's at about 16, 15, 16Ks, and so on and so forth. So pacing is important. And the idea should be that you should get to the finish line pretty knackered, almost not really able to go another step, but that you're still able to maintain the pace that you were at the start. So that's really the discussion around pacing. And then a run-walk strategy goes a hell of a long way to helping us to get a much more even pacing strategy, and very importantly, to keep your legs fresher for longer. So the longer a race goes on, the more important the run-walk strategy becomes. However, there are really good examples in Ironman, for example, with someone like Jan Frodeno, who's used it very successfully even at the half marathon at the end of a Ironman, where he walks through the water points and still runs a 70-minute 21K off the bike. So this is something for slow runners and fast runners alike. For me, it's something that needs to be practiced. So if you're going to do it in a race, you need to be doing it in training, and you've got to figure out what works for you as an individual. And a run-walk strategy can be anything ranging from 5 minutes of running, 1 minute of walking, 10 minutes, 1 minute of walking, 5Ks of running, 1 minute of walking, 5Ks of running, 2 minutes of walking. You've got to kind of settle on a groove that feels good for you, feels comfortable, and that kind of helps you get into a bit of a rhythm. And then there's always a second aspect to walking for me, and that is when we get to the hills. And this is a very common error I see. Loads of people walk when they get to the top. In fact, the vast majority of people who do walk in races, that is exactly how they do it. It's like there's too much pride involved to walk on the actual hill, so we'll walk at the top. And whenever I see this strategy used, what I see is everyone around you that runs over the top of the hill and gets onto the down, you never see them again. And those are often typically the people who are walking on the hill itself, so that when they get to the top of the hills, they don't need a rest. And that's quite key, because a walk break is not supposed to be a rest. It's also why you're supposed to incorporate it from early on in the race. So it's a nice power walk. It's not a rest. If you're only incorporating them in the late in the race, it's normally very slow. It's not highly motivated, and it's to take a rest. So to close it off and just to explain why it's such an effective strategy is because when we walk, if we walk with purpose, we're still making up a good chunk of ground. We're not slowing down much, but we greatly reduce the impact force. So that's the force when we hit the ground and the eccentric load on the muscles. We change the frequency of the contraction of the muscles, and we also change the recruitment. So in other words, fewer muscles are recruited. So in essence, although it's not a rest, and it's certainly not a cardiovascular rest, it is a bit of a rest, a short break for those muscles, and it just keeps them strong and firing at the right frequency for much longer into the race.
Absolutely. And if you're talking about practicing it in training, make sure you check out the training programs on coachparry.com. We've got a wide range of programs there, right from 10Ks all the way up to ultras, to comrades, and everything in between. So go check it out, coachparry.com/training. And also, if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer here on Run with Coach Parry, the website or the URL to get to, and it'll redirect you to our Facebook group, is coachparry.com/Facebook. It's a bit easier to remember than the whole Facebook address. So that's coachparry.com/Facebook. Lindsay, as always, great to catch up. Thanks for that. And yeah, I think the run walk strategy is something that a lot more people should employ. That go until you blow strategy doesn't tend to work as well for most of us mere mortals. And I know I've employed it with great success, and I know many of your athletes has as well. So thanks for your time today. Much appreciated. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Yeah, awesome. See you guys soon.